Well, it's great to be together on this fifth Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Let us come to him today to learn to walk in his ways. Let us come to him today to discover more of his truth. Let us come to him today to be filled with his life. Let us come together now to rejoice in him, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Loving God, many times in our walk with you, we come to decision crossroads. We have a choice, your way or my way. Your way may look rocky and uneven, whereas my way may look smooth. Forgive us, loving God, for taking what appears to be the easy way. Your way is far more rewarding as we journey in your loving grace. Amen. Our Father is a God of love and wisdom. All our wrongdoings, all wrong decisions have been forgiven through the gift of Jesus on the cross. Through his blood, God's own Son has paid all our debts, past, present, and future. We are loved and forgiven. All thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Helen has our first reading for us.
Our first reading comes from Genesis 24. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah bore him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath, and he said, You must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. When I came to the spring today, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, Please let me drink a little from your jar. And if she says to me, Drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too. Let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulders. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said, Please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, Whose daughter are you? She said, The daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right path to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may know which way to turn. So they called Rebecca and asked her, Will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant, and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Then Rebecca and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer-lah-hor-roi, for he was living in the grave. He went to the field one evening to meditate, and he looked up and saw camels approaching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning are verses from Psalm 45. Listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek your favor. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments, she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her, those brought to be with her. Led in with joy and gladness, they enter the palace of the king. Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you for ever and ever. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. And Helen's got our gospel reading.
Second reading comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16, starting at verse 16. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came in eating and drinking, and they say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proven by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and relieved them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you planned. It was what we're pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today, we leave our lectionary gospel for a few weeks and journey into the Old Testament, beginning with stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, last week, our Old Testament reading was of Abraham being asked to sacrifice his one and only son. I didn't preach on it because I wanted to finish off Jesus' teaching from Matthew. But according to Genesis, these are the last words that God spoke directly to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. After this, Abraham never again hears the voice of God. I think that this is the nightmare of every person who has ever wanted to put their faith in God. Abraham, known for his faith, is now commanded to do this most horrible, most unimaginable, most tragic thing: sacrifice his child, whom, the voice of God notes as if taunting you love. And this sacrifice is demanded for reasons so mysterious that generations of Torah scholars and devoted readers of Christian, Muslim, and Jewish faiths have tried to comprehend it without much success. All of the stated reasons, obedience, the need for sacrifice in the life of faith, testing our devotion, feel hollow as we apprehend what is actually being asked of Abraham. The most I can say for this story is that it has kicked off a 5,000-year, still unresolved conversation about obedience, sacrifice, and faith. Prior to Genesis 22, God has much to say to Abraham. God begins the conversation by telling him to go forth. God tells him about the land he will receive. God tells him that his descendants will be more numerous than the stars. God tells him that he will have a son. But now God's last words appear to erase all the former promises. He orders Abraham to offer up his own son in a fiery act of sacrifice. This command, Søren Kierkegaard writes, should render any follower of God sleepless. Ask me to sacrifice myself, okay, but ask me to sacrifice my child. Well, that's the end of the conversation. But to prevent the conversation from ending, Jewish tradition surrounds texts like these, some of the most ancient texts and stories, and the most revered, with other stories in a practice called Midrash. Sometimes, in the process of Midrash, characters or scenes are invented by readers and commentators that are intended to illuminate some of the seemingly impenetrable darknesses of the original story. Through the process of Midrash, we're reminded that the text is never without context. There is always more to the story. And this morning's Old Testament reading moves to the next generation. Isaac has been spared. He has grown up and he is in search of a wife. His servant, who is traditionally believed to be Eliezer, is instructed to find one for him. What a task! Poor servant. He's been entrusted with a huge undertaking and then has been left to do it with minimal guidance and absolutely no supervision. And the Bible, irritatingly, does not tell us what he thought about all of this. So, what can we learn from this passage? First, we read just before today's passage that the servant made sure that he knew as much as possible about the job he was being asked to do. He asked questions. He listened. He found out as much information as he could from his master Abraham. This is what is recorded in Genesis. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of those Canaanite local women. Instead, go to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" "No," Abraham responds, "be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you will find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. but under no circumstances are you to take my son there. The servant is concerned to get the task right. All sorts of things could go wrong. But Abraham responds with some wonderfully reassuring words. The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and make your way successful. Abraham's servant needs wisdom and decision and discernment for the task ahead. Discernment, true discernment, is not a 5-minute job. It takes time. So how do we go about the task of discernment? Theologian Thomas Aquinas famously said that discernment is the application of right reason to action. I think Aquinas believed in using good sense as well as the Holy Spirit to guide us, and I suspect he would have liked that Abraham's servant showed openness to God's leading and to common sense by asking to see a woman who would water the camels. You see, there is a balance between seeking God and using common sense in our own day-to-day lives. We in the church in this country, in the X Valley, are, I think, in a period of discernment. What is the rural church going to look like in the future? What is our mission community going to look like in the future? What will change? What needs to change? Where do we seek God? What is common sense? I am calling on us all to pray for our churches, for the future, and for one another. And we're starting on the third Sunday of the third Thursday of the month, and we'll continue every Thursday as we discern together. Secondly, the servant was willing to set off, taking 10 camels and all kinds of choice gifts from his master, trusting that God would guide and protect him along the way, a distance of about 500 miles, and give him success. We don't know how his journey took him to the town of Nahor, but when he arrived at the well, he had a clear plan for discerning God's choice of bride for Isaac. And he offers his plan to God in prayer. O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman who the Lord has appointed for my master's son. It was an inspired idea. It was designed to elicit something of the girl's character, never mind her appearance. You see, in a hot climate, anyone would offer to draw water for a thirsty stranger, but it would take a very unusual and generous person to offer to draw water for 10 thirsty camels. I understand one camel can easily drink 25 gallons. Like the servant, as we discern the future, we need to be willing to set off, not knowing which way the path will take us, but being open to many possibilities. Discernment is a journey, and it is one which we do together, hopefully in harmony and in unity. Thirdly, the servant took time to consider whether this was indeed the right girl for the job. He waited for as long as it took for all the camels to finish drinking, and only then did he ask about her family. Imagine his joy when he realized that God had indeed answered his prayer and made his way successful. As he told Rebecca's family, I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So, how might all of this apply to our own questions and struggles as we seek divine guidance? We need to begin by clarifying the issue, which is best done in conversation with God, our Father in heaven, who loves to listen to our thoughts, our feelings, our hopes, and fears. But we also need to gather information and discuss our ideas and options with wise counselors and with trusted fellow disciples and pilgrims. Then perhaps, before we feel ready, we might need to make a move. We may have some ideas about what is going God's way and what that might involve, whether we're facing a big personal decision or the future possibilities for our churches. God's way, going God's way, might involve a big and final move, as it did for Rebecca, and as it did for the Victorian missionaries, who, as I read this week, set off for West Africa with very few possessions, but all of them travelled in their coffins. We don't know where our journey will take us, but God invites us to step out in faith, to trust God's moment-by-moment guidance, rather as we might trust the directions we get from Google Maps. Usually, the technology offers several possible routes, and its recommendations change if the traffic situation alters. We may follow its first suggestion. If we deviate, it can usually accommodate our new choice. Occasionally, it asks us to make a U-turn. And so it can be with God. Often it doesn't matter what path we take, but we are keeping in step with the Spirit. And if we are, we can trust Him to retrieve the situation if we're heading for a dead end. The point is this: there's no easy way to know what the best option is. It depends on so many factors. But for us, as Christians, for following Jesus Christ, it's about believing that what matters most to God is our willingness to trust Him. As Abraham's servant trusted the angel, and to dare to walk by faith and not by sight. Then we will be able to conclude, like Abraham's faithful servant, "As for me, the Lord has led me on the way. He has sent his angel with us and will make our way successful." Amen. Helen is going to lead us in our prayers. Sorry, I think Helen's disappeared. So I'm going to lead you in your
Was she
prayers.
muted?
She's muted.
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm back on, I think. Sorry.
Okay, lovely. That's all right.
I'm back on. Shall I
Yeah,
start again?
please.
Right. Lord God, we look to you for leading in all we do. Give us discernment and direction, we pray. Life is full of decisions to be made, large and small. One large decision we make in life is that of our marriage partner. Just as you led Abraham's servant your way, resulting in Rebecca and Isaac coming together, we pray for all couples contemplating marriage plans. Lord, we pray for all on the cusp of this decision and ask that you lead them your way. Lord God, we pray for those who have decided to walk a dark path and those who have been coerced onto such a path. We think of those lost in a world of drugs, those lost and held in the grip of human trafficking, and those caught up in a never-ending cycle of violence. Light up your path, Lord God. Open their eyes to see, their minds to know and understand. Lord, touch the lives of the lost that they may be drawn to go your way and commit their lives to you. Lord, we pray for your church today. We lift to you all those in roles of ministry. May they look and act on your word for your people and look not to their own needs, the demands of the world or society's trends. May your words be paramount in all we seek to discern your leading. We pray for our community, especially Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Joy, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary, Ron, Mary, Margaret, Colin, Richard, Hilary, Guy, Jemima, Brackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And remembering the friends and family of those who have recently died, Jeremy Roxby Cox, Gillian Haywood, and Eileen Fewings. Lord, lead your church the way you want it to go. Guide us your way, Lord. Lord God, after yet another Prime Minister's resignation, we pray for much needed stability for our country. This country needs your direction, Lord. May you reign in power over this land. Put the right people in government and have Christian values, who have Christian values central in all decisions. Lord, we pray for all whose actions affect our daily lives. May you shine your light and lead them and this country your way. Lord God, we pray for all the world, for all caught up in conflict. We pray for your hand on peace talks, Lord. We pray for the war in Ukraine and the end to hostilities worldwide. Strengthen the innocent caught up amid the rubble of broken lives and provide nourishment for body and soul. Lord God, we pray for the devastation wrought by the twin earthquakes in Venezuela. We pray for the rescue teams. Lord, rebuild the shattered lives of those devastated by war, famine, or earthquakes. Lord, we pray for all people crying out for help. Help. Speak peace, grant sustenance, and restore your world. May the light of your love shine brightly in our world as you lead us your way. Amen.
And the collect for the day, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, send down upon your church the riches of your Spirit, and kindle in all who minister the gospel your countless gifts of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people. Jesus, you call us to follow, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for this day and always. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your way. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in your way. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us in your way. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, however we feel, today and always, Help us to keep going your way. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Lovely to be with you. Have a good week.
Thank you.
You
And
too. Thank you.
see,
Thank
thank
you
you,
so much
Helen,
for
very
everything.
much indeed.
You're
Yes,
welcome. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you so much, Jeff and Helen.
Great, great sermon. That was a really good sermon today. Made me think.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
Food
yes,
for thought.
when I'm yeah, the discernment of all the churches here includes this
Yes.
congregation as well.
Yes,
So
yes.
I think it's very much a way forward for us. So please, any thoughts, you're
Yes,
included.
it fills a big gap, doesn't it? Yes, it's
It really does.
important gap, yeah.
It really does. Anyway, love to you all.
Yeah,
Thank
thank
you. God
you.
bless.
Bye.
See you
Bye.
next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Have a great
Bye.
time,
Bye.
Helen.
Oh, yes.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Bye.